If any man or woman is not right with God, they have a big problem. And the word big is an understatement. Anyone who is not right with God has an immense, everlasting, omnipresent problem. Everywhere, omnipresent. No matter where they go, this problem is with them. Anyone who is not right with God cannot escape their massive problem, because God is everywhere. And our sin, our unrighteousness, is continually before God. Unrighteousness, not to be right with God. It says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous, no, not one. All of us by nature are unrighteous before God. And everyone needs to know that. And we need to know also, if there's none righteous before God by nature, we also need to know that it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9 that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So no one by nature shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, because all are unrighteous. Being unrighteous before God would see everyone, anyone who's unrighteous before God, will be locked out of heaven. There is no hope of heaven for the unrighteous. And there's nothing, no works that human beings can do to change the situation. Because all our righteousness, Romans 3:20, is as filthy rags. So I say this morning to you present and to anyone else listening, if you're not right with God, you've got an everlasting, omnipresent problem. And that problem is God's justice. And there's no works, there's no obedience that we can do to offset this problem of God's justice. Listen to what the Bible says in Romans 3, as I read in verse 21 to 24. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Even though we are all by nature unrighteous before a holy God, there is a way that we can be justified, declared righteous. Because the word justified simply means declared righteous or declared right with God. There is a way for sinners who are not right with God to be declared right with God. Now surely this must be the most important thing that anyone can ever hear. It is. Because we by nature are not right with God, and because of that, we will not get to heaven, and not only will we not get to heaven, we will be cast into the lake of fire forever if we remain not right with God. But in this situation, there is a way that we as sinners can be justified, declared right with the Holy God. So I speak this morning on justification by faith, simply from Romans 3, 24 to 26. This is the most important thing that anyone in this world needs to hear or learn. Because if anyone is wrong on justification, and I don't mean wrong in thinking about it, but wrong in the sense of not trusting in Jesus Christ for their justification, wrong in that area, nothing else matters. What does Romans 3, 24 to 26 teach us about justification? A number of things. And the first thing is this. Justification is not earned. It's not earned. It says in verse 24, being justified freely. And the word, the Greek word for being, is a present passive participle. Being justified freely. Freely means without cause, as a gift. A gift. For nothing, the Greek word means. Do you have to work hard for your gift? No. When it's your birthday and someone gives you a present, do they say, there, I'm going to give you a present. Now you have to work very hard to get it. No. It's free because it's a gift. Being justified freely. Justification is not earned. It is given freely as a gift. Being justified freely. And in our justification, as I said, we are passive. The Greek word for being justified freely is a passive verb. It is something that God does or declares about us. The second thing that this section of Scripture teaches us about justification is justification is not deserved. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Grace. What does it mean? Undeserved favor. To be justified is not our right. It is something that we do not deserve. Justification is not deserved. It is by grace. No one deserves to be justified. Not because they had a hard life, nor because they suffered an illness, nor even if they are very faithful in their church attendance, or no matter even how much money they give to missionaries. No one deserves to be justified, because we are justified freely by God's grace. What we deserve is our wages, and the wages of sin is death. That is what we earn, but we are justified freely by God's grace. So justification is not earned, and it is not deserved, is the second point. And thirdly, we see justification is presently happening. It says in verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. Being justified, as I said, is a present passive participle. It's an ing word, a present passive participle. We are being presently justified, but we are passive, and it is God that justifies us. Now, what does that really mean? When we are justified, when God says, you are righteous, I'm counting you as righteous, that is a once for all declaration. It has to be. But this verse says that people are being presently justified. What does that mean, if justification is a one-off event? Well, it's not a thing in this way people are being presently justified. It's not a thing that just happened in the past, in the apostolic era, or at certain times in church history. No. God is presently justifying people, because we are passive, God is the active. God is still presently justifying people by his grace. So anyone who comes to faith in Jesus Christ can be justified today. It's not an old-fashioned doctrine. It's presently available. Justification is not earned. It is not deserved. It is presently happening. And fourthly, justification had to be bought through the redemption, verse 24, that is in Christ Jesus. Redemption. Liberation by the payment of a ransom. That's what the Greek word means. We don't earn justification, but it still had to be paid for. And God paid for our justification. He redeemed, he liberated his people by the payment of a ransom. God redeemed his people. Justification had to be bought. Which smoothly brings us to point number 5 that this passage teaches. Justification is through the propitiation of Jesus Christ. That's verse 25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, and to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Now, I've determinedly used the word that the King James uses here, the word propitiation, because that is the word in verse 25, and there's no doubt about it. God the Father sets forth his Son to be a propitiation. Now, some modern Bibles, in some cases that are just excuses for Bibles, replace the word propitiation in their translation with the word atonement. Or the RSV says expiation. Because this Greek word, which is hilasterion, I'm probably not pronouncing it right, but that's how it's spelled, hilasterion, propitiation, the meaning of it means appeasing, to appease the wrath or anger of God. That's a part of the meaning of propitiation, not just atoning for or paying for, but to appease the wrath or judgment, the wrath and anger of a person. In this case, of course, it's God. And the meaning of propitiation in that sense, to appease the wrath and anger of God, is not popular with so many modern liberals that call themselves Christians today. the idea to many modern people that God is angry and wrathful against sin and sinners is imagined by moderns to be unacceptable and not compatible with God's love. So what do? When they come to something they don't like, when they're translating their Bibles, they remove the word propitiation and they replace it with expiation, which simply means the taking away of sin, the carrying away. Now, propitiation does include expiation, because Jesus Christ does. He is the scapegoat that carries away our sin. That's a part of the meaning. But propitiation has that meaning, but also the idea of the appeasement of God's wrath and judgment upon our sin, as well as taking it away. But the modern versions replace it with atonement, which is a more general word. The price has been paid, or expiation, where sin is taken away. The Bible does teach everywhere in the Old and in the New Testament God's anger towards sin and sinners. And you can't get away with it by changing a word here and there. You just can't. Liberals playing with words, playing games with words in their little translations, which are now acceptable in many evangelical churches because of their modern evangelical tradition, does not change the reality one iota. Justification only comes to sinners through Jesus Christ's propitiation. He appeases the wrath and the anger of God, and he takes away our sin. But this appeasing the wrath and anger of God, the judgment that would have fallen upon us, and he took our place and it fell upon him, is really the essence of propitiation. God sent Jesus forth to be a propitiation, verse 25. And Jesus, our Lord, came and he paid the price, and he appeased the wrath of God for us who believe. Because belief keeps being repeated in the verses. Let me give you a quote from Wilson, the commentator. The heart of the gospel is that on the cross, God publicly set forth Christ as the propitiatory offering. That is, as the appointed means by which God's wrath against sinners is averted. Averted, or diverted if you prefer. Justification is through Christ's propitiation. Jesus Christ averts or diverts God's anger and wrath upon our sin. He diverts it from us unto himself as the sin bearer. Propitiation. So what does this section of scripture teach us about justification being declared right with God? Number one, it's not earned. Number two, it's not deserved. Number three, it is presently happening. Number four, it had to be bought. And number five, it was bought through the propitiation of Jesus Christ. Sixthly, justification is received by faith in Jesus Christ's death. That is verse 25 also, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. His blood poured out life, death, The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, the propitiation that he made, this justification that Christ makes available to us is limited to those who have faith in his blood, his death. And how true that is. Through faith in his blood, we trust that because of the death of Jesus Christ, we are justified here today. That's it. We have faith in his death, his propitiatory offering, his death. We trust in that. That's why we're justified. And because of that, we are declared right with God by trusting in Christ's death, his shed blood, his propitiation, his averting of God's wrath from ourselves to himself for you and me. Do you believe that? Because that is what real faith must be placed in. Jesus Christ and his work, his life, his death. Justification is not earned. It is not deserved. It is happening presently. It had to be bought. It's through Christ's propitiation. It's through faith in his death. And seventhly, and lastly, God is just in justifying sinners. This section of Scripture says. It tells us that in verse, the last half of 25, but especially verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just, and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God is just in justifying sinners. This is the wonderful bit about the gospel, you see. You see, if in a court in our land there was a man being tried by the court for murder, and he admitted his crime, the evidence is brought, he is proven guilty. Murder. If the judge said, you've admitted your crime, I'm going to give you a medal and let you off. What would we say? Would we say that justice has been done? We certainly would not. We would say the judge is corrupt and the court is corrupt and justice has not been executed. And we'd be right in saying that. But you and I are sinners. We are unjust by nature. God is righteous and just and must punish sin and sinners. He doesn't just let us off. He cannot, because of his very attributes of righteousness and justice and so on. So how does God remain just as a judge and at the same time justify guilty sinners? That is the beauty of the gospel. God doesn't let sinners off the hook at all. He doesn't pass over their sins and say, that's all right, on you go, I'll just ignore it. God's justice and his wrath requires death for sin. The wages of sin is death. And that is the key reason why Jesus Christ had to die. Jesus died in the place as the substitute for the propitiation of God's wrath and justice for every sinner that believes in him. He died in their place. The justice and wrath of God was not laid aside, but executed on Jesus to the full. The unmitigated wrath of God on the cross. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him, and by his stripes we are saved. God carried out the just sentence of death upon sinners on his Son. His justice and his righteousness are not compromised. They're not passed over, but they're fulfilled completely in the sacrifice and death of his only begotten Son. Therefore, the sins that we have committed and still commit, we who trust in Jesus, are fully paid for. They have been justly judged. So God is just in justifying sinners. But the verse says, God is just in justifying sinners who trust in Jesus Christ. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. There's faith again and again and again. Justified by faith. I conclude. Justification by faith, the greatest doctrine, the most essential doctrine, that we must be justified by faith in Christ or we'll never get to heaven. Number one, it's not earned. Number two, it's not deserved. Number three, it's presently happening. Number four, it had to be bought. Number five, it's through Christ's propitiation. Number six, it's through faith in his death. And seventhly, God is just in justifying sinners. So I conclude, we cannot earn being made right with God or declared right with God. There's nothing we can do to make ourselves right with God. We don't deserve to be declared right with God. But we can be justified today. It's presently happening. The gospel is still the same. We're in the age of grace. Being made right with God had to be bought. And it happens by Christ's propitiation, through him averting God's wrath on sinners that believe in him unto himself. The justified are those that have faith in the death of Christ. If I was to ask any of you here this morning, if I was to ask my brother David here this morning, David, how do you know you're justified? On what grounds? You know what he'd say? Because of the death of Christ, because of his shed blood. That's it. We are justified by faith in Christ's sacrifice for us. And God in all of this is just in justifying sinners. Because Jesus is our righteousness. Where's our righteousness? Christ is it. That's it. He's just and justifies. And sinners will never, ever be right with God. In churches or in the Northern Ireland or in the United Kingdom or anywhere, sinners will never be right with God until they get off their high horse of good works and pride and start simply trusting in the finished work of Calvary, in the death of Jesus Christ as our justification. Because no one is good enough. No one. And if people are not right with God, they have an immense, everlasting, omnipresent problem. But the Bible says that sinners can be declared right with God. But it's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Jesus Christ alone. And it can and is happening today. I finish with a quote from Thomas Watson and Henry Smith, two Puritans. He hideth our unrighteousness in his righteousness. He covers our disobedience with his obedience. He shadows our death with his death, that the wrath of God cannot find us. God does not justify us because we are worthy, but by justifying us, he makes us worthy in Christ. Amen, and thank you for your attention this morning, brethren.